Mary Angstrom is a fictional character which the American author John Updike created for a series of four books. And these four books, cover, the five decades of one person, Harry. Harry is is trapped in a loveless marriage and a boring job as a salesman. And he has difficulty navigating the sterility of middle-class life. And in one of these books, Harry says, as a human being, I am a C-. Meaning he's putting some hope that, judgment like us, that judgment, whether it be human or divine, has a wide curve. And one of the ingredients in life, is, forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, a friendship, would not last. Without forgiveness, a marriage will not succeed. Without marriage, without forgiveness, partnership, will, not flourish. And to escape, anger, isolation, fear, one, must, be able to forgive. And that's why we hear in, today's gospel, Peter asking Jesus the question, how many times must I forgive my brother for his wrongdoing? Seven times? And Jesus responds, no, 77 times seven times. And Jesus continues to preach about this through the parable of the unmerciful servant. And he concludes the parable by saying that, one must have forgiveness from one's heart. And that is the responsibility that pours onto us, because this can be very difficult. How does one forgive one for the hurt that one has caused in one's life? It's very easy, to say, well, I forgive you. But how deep does this go? In the same way with the one seeking forgiveness, because that takes courage as well. The word forgive in Scripture is rarely used. In fact, the word forgive is used more frequently in the Old Testament as opposed to the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, the word forgive is used as a more like a business transaction. The word forgive is only used one time in the Gospel of John. It is used four times in the letter of Paul. And probably the biblical passage that sticks out the most is when Christ himself is being crucified, when he says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The task falls once again, onto us. In the Jewish tradition, when one has committed a sin against God, one is absolved of that sin through sincere repentance. And when one, is seeking, forgiveness for an action they have committed against another human being, that human being, must seek forgiveness first from that person he or she has hurt in order to invoke, divine mercy in, his or her life. And the same thing, is true for us. Every day, you and I say the Lord's Prayer. our Father who art in heaven. And there is a petition in that prayer that says, forgive us our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. Once again, that is very legalistic, language there. We are to forgive those who do harm to us. And it does begin from the heart. And as it begins from the heart, this does mean that we are to do a few things. Namely, be able to sit in silence with God, allowing God to love us and to be free of, whatever we are feeling. To be able to either go to that person and say, I am sorry for what I have done to you, or please forgive me for what I have done to you. As Catholics, we celebrate a number of rituals. Our liturgy always begins with the penitential rite. And it concludes with, the absolution. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us everlasting life. Receiving the body and blood of Christ itself is an act of mercy. It brings healing, forgiveness. God loves us so much that it knows no ends. And of course, there is the sacrament of reconciliation, where we bring our sins to be forgiven in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. It's not a, on the element, it's another human speaking to another human, but that other human is in the person of Christ. And that solution is given. The God, through the mercy and death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled himself to the world. God loves us. God has created us. He is the source of all mercy and all love. And in turn, we are holy. And we are left with that challenge to be able to forgive our brothers and sisters as much as God has forgiven us. When someone sins or is violent, they are hungry. And they are deprived. They find a need to satisfy whatever is going on in their lives. And I'm not condoning that, but it needs to be addressed. And we need to be able to forgive, not seek revenge. Because if you can remember from last week's gospel, Jesus says, if your brother or sister has done something against you, you are to go to them alone. Not seek revenge, not to endure, not to say, all right, go ahead, do it again, but stop. But once again, this element of forgiveness is to become part of it. My brothers and sisters, I keep on saying this, we are in the image and likeness of God. We are the source of this. And forgiveness does begin with us, from our hearts, in communion with the Holy Trinity, who loves us, who nourishes us, and guides us. On that part, I do ask for your forgiveness, because I have to end my homily and read a letter to you from the bishop requesting money. My brothers and sisters in Christ, over the last year, we as a community of faith have been on a path that few, if any, have ever walked before. As this year began with the hope of continued prosperity, we were confronted with a global pandemic that compelled us to close our businesses, modify the ways our parishes provide essential ministry, and retreat into the safety of our homes. As each of us considered how we would manage in this new normal, we watched as many of those we knew, were close to us or cherished, become ill or lost the means to support their families. If this were not enough, we have watched over the last several months our nation struggle to address issues of equality, economic disparity, and social justice. Yet, amid all of this uncertainty and at times chaos, the love of your Creator, the promise of your faith, and the mission of your church remains constant. Although many of us continue to feel the burdens that have been placed upon us in the present moment, we also must embrace the opportunities that the events of the last few months have given to us. Many of us have become closer to members of our immediate families. We have come to understand and appreciate the sacrifices made by our brothers and sisters who cared for those who were ill. We were made to see the plight of the poor, disadvantaged, and those who live at the margins of our society, and many of us renewed our friendship with our Creator through prayer. We are a people of hope, no matter the circumstances and uncertainties of the present hour. We understand and believe that Jesus gives hope to those who are ill, to those who are abandoned, to those who suffer from economic hardships, and to those who live in fear and isolation. His love is ever constant, never changing, and without limits. We may all take comfort in the surety that he has gone before us to prepare a place with him and our Heavenly Father. In this moment, we are called to share in challenges that now face us. As never before, the world, our country, our state, and our diocese need the healing, teaching, and redemptive presence of our divine Savior. As we look back on what we have endured, we must now look forward to what we must do for our brothers and sisters in faith. Your support of the annual Diocesan Appeal provides essential operating support for those diocesan ministries, outreach programs, parish and schools that bring the light of Christ that dispels the darkness of suffering, pain, and ignorance. Never has the need for your support been greater, and never will the impact of your generosity more deeply felt. Please know that as each of you walk in your own journey of faith, your Heavenly Father walks beside you, and as a people of hope, you may be assured of my prayers for your parish, your families, and you. Sincerely, yours in Christ, Most Reverend Michael Olson, Bishop of Fort Worth.